adamación de la bastante que you move mountains, you move mountains, you cause walls to fall, you cause walls to fall, you cause walls to fall, hey, you cause walls to fall, and you cause
God for his mercy and his grace. This is the day God has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. We thank God for you on tonight for this midweek, amen, Bible study. We thank God for the word of God, the Logos word of God, and the canon of scripture, the Old and New Testament. We thank God for the word tonight in the name of Jesus. So, you can start by going to the New Testament book of Philippians. We will begin there, and then we are going to go quickly to Genesis 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. To God be the glory. Pastor Rebecca ministered from this text a couple of weeks ago, and it stood with me, and we're going to see that. Philippians 3, verse number 12. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. May you bless it. May you, in the name of Jesus, minister to your people on tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, God, we thank you in advance for spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, and spiritual strength and a foundation in your word, making us unshakable, unmovable, in the name of Jesus. So God, thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 12. Pray you have a pen and paper as we go to quite a bit of scripture tonight. We love going to the Word of God, the Old and New Testament alike. one of our goals and objectives on the midweek Bible study is just to get familiar with the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So we thank God for the Word on tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, listen to Paul tonight, forgetting what is behind and straining or pressing toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about tonight from that thought in verse number 14, the first part of verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Tonight we're talking about pressing toward the prize. Pressing toward the prize. So much is going on in our world and in our lives personally, and it is amazing how God has a wonderful plan for us, and we know that through the Word of God, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not evil, thoughts of an expected end. So God has ordained for our lives to be blessed. But how many of you know we have an adversary? Remember back in Genesis where God created man and woman in his image, breathed into them, and they became a living vessel. Then man blessed them and placed them in the garden, amen, and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue and take dominion over it. In other words, when God blessed them, they had the ability to carry out those five instructions. But in chapter 3, we see the serpent, which the Bible says he was subtle. My God, he doesn't come in your face. He doesn't come just blatantly showing you he is the enemy. That's why he's called a thief and a deceiver, because he's subtle with it. He's almost kind with it, but yet he wants to get us away from the plan of God for our lives. So just like God has a plan for you and I, whether it's ministry, whether it's family, whether you have a financial goal, a spiritual goal, physically speaking, you have a desire to do great exploits with your life, or there's a cause or there's a mission that God has placed in your heart. Whatever it is, you must press toward the prize. We all have a different prize or a different goal that we're going for. But Paul said here, Christ Jesus, through our Heavenly Father, has a heavenly prize waiting for us. Remember in Timothy where he says, I'm going down to receive my crown, to receive my prize. So after it's all said and done, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. After it's all said and done in this lifetime, if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, like the man on the cross, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Heaven is our home. Jesus promised us he's going to prepare a place for us. So while we are here, we shouldn't just look for heaven, but God wants to give us a piece of heaven on earth. Amen, somebody. To God be the glory. So if you're not in your dream job yet, if you're not in your dream relationship yet, if you don't have the ministry or the church that God has shown you, the possibility that you can have, if you're not where you want to be financially, and he has already shown you a place of wealth and well-being, keep pressing. Keep pushing. Keep fighting. Keep seeking and asking and knocking, and you will manifest what God has ordained for your life. Amen, somebody, tonight. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what Samuel said to Saul who tried to deceive Samuel. And he told Samuel that we are sacrificing and we kept the best of these animals, even though God told us to kill anything and everything living. He tried to justify taking the best unblemished animals where God gave them specific instruction, kill the animals, kill everybody, because they will poison and they will intoxicate what I'm trying to bless. And he tried to say, we saved them to sacrifice to God. And Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And God simply wants us to obey his word. He wants us to come into alignment with his will for our lives. And that is not easy. Isaiah said, if we be willing and obedient, we will eat of the good of the land. But our disobedience in many cases either prolongs or slows down the process, and then God, through his grace and mercy, always is waiting there with us with open arms to put us back and restore us right to where we need to be. So as we press, as we push, as we fight the good fight of faith, I believe good things happen to us. Amen. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. I kind of want to paint a picture here to look at the life of Abraham very briefly. And my intent is to get to the story of the four lepers over in 2 Kings. But if we get there, beautiful. If we don't get there, I believe God's going to have his way. Because even as I see kids getting out of school, and some are graduating high school, going on to college, some we have a young lady that just finished college at our church, and some are going on to their second year of college. Some are going on to high school and grade school, graduating from kindergarten. In other words, they're being promoted. They're being passed on to the next grade. And even in the natural, in our young lives, we get promoted from first to second grade. We go into high school, and then we get our high school diploma, and we graduate. Amen. So we get used to being promoted. We get used to progress. We get used to advancement. But somehow, some way, even though this is the intent of God for our lives, the enemy, the devil, Satan, has deceived many of God's children to either get us to go back, give up, quit, and God is saying, no, I need you to press. Hear this man of God tonight. Press. Desire that thing so badly. Be so determined. You have to be diligent, and God will do the rest. So when we look at the life of Abraham, I'm gonna finish this thought that I had. But last week we talked about the person who received the one talent, the three talents, and the five talents from God. Well, through Jesus, through the servant, through the landowner of the property. And the one with five talents produced five more. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. The one with three produced three more. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. The one that had one, the Bible says he hid his talent, his gift, and the master was mad. He said, you should have invested it so I could have got some interest. So we see that God wants us to be productive in producing while we are here. 70, 80, 90 years of life. I don't know how many years he's going to give you. I'm looking to get to that 100 mark. Amen, somebody. But whatever you do, God wants you to be productive, fruitful, progressive. Amen. And let's look at the life of Abraham. His father was a powerful man. His father's name was Terah. And he brought them to a wonderful place in Haran. To God be the glory. And we look at Genesis chapter number 12 after Abraham's father has died. He's with his wife Sarah, who is barren in her womb, cannot have children. Abraham is his name is Abram, but his father left him, you know, in pretty good condition. He had some wealth. He had some establishment. They had some servants. They had animals. They were doing pretty well. But in Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1, listen to what God says to Abraham. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. In other words, take a risk. Oh, I don't know who that's for right there. Without no risk, there can be no reward. When you take a risk, there may be a wonderful reward waiting for you. See, it is our faith that moves the heart of God to give us the fruit. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 11, when we believe, then we will receive. That's why the enemy tries to get us to operate in unbelief and doubt. Because in many times in the Bible, Jesus said to the people that sometimes got healed by him, he said, be it unto you according to what, people of God? According to your faith. In other words, this thing is dependent upon you. So we can't blame God sometimes for not getting what he is showing us. We have a part to play in the process. Amen. Amen. This is why, you know, my wife and I, Pastor Rebecca, as far as New Creation Church, there are certain things that we're striving for. There are certain things that God is speaking to us about in this season. And we're believing God that as we put forth the effort, he's going to bless the task. He's going to bless the effort. He's going to breathe on what we are trying to accomplish for his kingdom. Amen. And whether it's a private or public goal, God is looking for us to give him something to bless. Give him something to breathe on. Give him something so that the world can say, now I know that their God is on their side. I know that their God is a miracle-working God. I know that all this talk they're talking about faith and what God is going to do and what they're going to accomplish through Jesus Christ. And when the people start seeing the manifestation of the miracles, don't get it twisted, people of God. Trust me. In the first book, in the first century church, we want to look to Peter where he rose up and he spoke. And 3,000 people got saved and were added to the church with that one sermon. But guess what? When you really go back and read Acts chapter 2, don't miss the miracle of Pentecost. Don't miss the miracle of them speaking in other tongues, and people from all over the world heard the strangers speaking in their language. So God did his part. So by the time Peter spoke, amen, somebody, people already were leaning toward God. But by the time Peter spoke, and then they saw the miracle, hey, it was all done. It was all over. So they say, yes, we want to serve this God because he is not just talking the talk, but he's proving the walk. Ha! That's the God we serve. That's the God that healed me of cancer. Amen, somebody. That's the God that allowed me and my wife to celebrate 22 years of marriage on next month. That's the year, that's the God that has kept the doors of New Creation Church open for 10 years, over a decade. That's the God I'm talking about tonight. So whatever you're believing God for, if it's healing, if it is deliverance, if it is, watch this, if it's peace, you know how many don't have peace in the hour in which we're living? Having insomnia and sleepless nights due to stress and worry. And God says, cast your cares upon me because I love you and I care for you. Jesus said, you who are burdened, Come on, somebody. Paying the mortgage, raising children, trying to stay happily married, trying to stay healthy, trying to keep a job. That can be a burden. All of you who are burdened, weighted down, heavy laden, watch what Jesus said. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. This is why I gotta be in church on Sunday. That's my indication of going to Jesus. That's my action. I'm going down to the church because I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to the house of worship and the house of prayer because I'm going to my God. Amen. It's not about, glory. I want to stay on point tonight because we're talking about pressing toward the prize. But God is saying, as we see the day approaching, they're legalizing marijuana. That's the day approaching. Amen, somebody. We're seeing gang activity and gang violence increasing. We're seeing murders and senseless deaths. We see sometimes law enforcement. There were so many acquitted. As I watch the news, it grieves my heart. So many acquitted because people just want justice. And there's so many who are not getting justice. And God is saying, in the day in which you are living, so many don't have peace, and I can give you peace. He said, my peace I leave with you. And in the middle of a storm, you can have peace. And in the middle of being laid off from your job, you can have joy unspeakable. When my wife and I just want to testify, but when we, April 2015, when I was diagnosed with colon rectal cancer, latter stage two, colon rectal cancer. I had a 12.6 centimeter tumor on my colon, and it was malignant. And don't think for a minute that bad news, when it hit my ear gate, I was ready to handle that because I wasn't ready for it. You could have knocked me down with a feather in that moment. So once the enemy comes in like a flood, and he did on that day, I got to tell you, my peace was not there. Worry came in. Fear came in. Anxiety and stress came in right away. And I remember it like it was yesterday, although it was over 2 years ago. When you're told you have cancer and you've heard the horror stories, you know there is no cure. You know it can go bad. Yes, fear came. But when Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, I eventually got to that place of peace. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight. But maybe something has gotten you off course, or something has rattled your feathers. Maybe there is something that has you worried or has you stressed out. Go to God in prayer. Pray for God to give you peace. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication, make your request be made known unto God, and watch what happens. And he said, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be yours. So pray, and God will give you peace. But as we're talking tonight about pressing toward the prize, the Bible says, God gives Abraham a promise in verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, we're in verse 3, and curse them that curse you, and in you all families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram departed, that's the obedience, as the Lord has spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. So Abraham obeyed God. In Genesis chapter number 11, we just heard that Sarah was barren. But God says that age 75, when it is impossible, I'm going to bless you. And you will be the father of all families of the earth, including your own family. So can you imagine Abraham as he got that instruction from God? See, when God, I'm reading a book now, and they say if your dream's not big enough, if your dream doesn't scare you or God can't do it, your dream's not big enough. Because what I'm believing God for, it has to take a supernatural intervention. Amen, amen somebody. The kind of desire I have and what I want to accomplish for God, he must intervene. And God is saying to us, in the case of Abraham that we're looking tonight, I want to bless you beyond what you can ever ask, think, or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. But look how God works. Once God promises are granted through faith, Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. God promises are granted through faith. But listen to how God keeps us confident, how God keeps us in faith, how God allows us to remain faithful, even though sometimes we want to doubt and be double-minded. Because there's always going to be a voice without, and sometimes more than that, there's a voice within telling us we can't do what God is telling us we can do. Let's look at how God operates even in the life of Abraham, who messed up, who made a mistake, because him and his wife got together and said, God, it's taking too long to fulfill the promise that he gave us. You can have my servant, my slave, my woman servant, Hagar, and went in and had a baby by Hagar named Ishmael, but that was not God's plan. So even Abraham doubted. But let's see what happens when we doubt or when we are double-minded, how God continues to speak to us, how God continues to send signs to us, how God will continue to give us support. Amen, somebody. Amen. That was Genesis chapter 12. Now go to Genesis chapter number 15. Because he knew Abraham was going to doubt. God knows everything. He's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. That means he is all-powerful. And he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere, every place at the same time. Genesis chapter number 15, let's see how God operates and how God continues to help us along our journey. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, what things? I wish I could just read it, but we don't have time. But he said, after these things, number one, if you read Genesis 12, 13, and 14, now we're in chapter 15, there was a great famine in the land. Abraham took his wife, Sarah, all his servants, all his animals, all his people down to Egypt. And he said, as they were going to Egypt to his wife, who was beautiful, she was stunning. He said, listen, you are beautiful. You are hot, Sarah. And I know Pharaoh has a thing for beautiful women. Listen, when we get down to Egypt, tell them that you are my sister. Because if you don't, they're going to kill me and keep you alive and take you anyway. So as they get down to Egypt, Pharaoh takes in Sarah and makes her part of his harem. gives Abraham a lot of money, a lot of animals in exchange. Then God protects Abraham and Sarah and all that they have, showing Abraham, showing Abram that I'm with you. He torments Pharaoh. He plagues Pharaoh with sickness. And Pharaoh wakes up and tells Abraham, why did you not tell me that Sarah was your wife? We may have violated her. And then God really would have punished her. Take your wife. Take your possessions. Here's some more money. Here's some more animals. And depart from us. So Abraham left Pharaoh much richer than how he got there. But God was proving to Abraham all along, I'm with you. Another thing, Lot, who went to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. In Sodom and Gomorrah, it was one big party until these kings invaded Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen, somebody. I was a partier back in the day. I went to the clubs that didn't open till 11 o'clock at night. But guess what? Even that party had to end. The party ended around 3 or sometimes 5 in the morning. But the party had to end. In Sodom and Gomorrah, the kings came and took everything, even Lot, and they party ended. Even when I was in those clubs, they had a thing called the after party. And the after party sometimes started 3, 5 o'clock in the morning. But guess what, people of God? Even the after party had to end sometimes. So there's so many people who want to party and make life one big party. But God is saying, no, get in purpose. Get a mission for your life. Get a plan for your life. Amen, somebody. Get in the will of God for your life and watch your life be so much richer. But a long story short, Abraham goes in, get his nephew Lot back, bring back all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God showed Abraham again that he is with them. So as we read in Genesis chapter number 15, where it says, after these things, I just tried to get you caught up on what he was talking about, those things. The word of the Lord came into Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am your shield and exceeding your great reward. And Abram said to the Lord, listen to the desires of this man's heart. God, what will you give me, seeing I have no child? I am childless. And my only heir is Eleazar. He's not even my own blood son. Verse 3, and Abram said, behold, you have given me no seed, not one born of my house. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, not your servant, but he shall come forth out of your own bowels. Out of your seed, you're going to bear a son. Verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven. Look up to the sky and look toward the stars and see if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. My God. I tell you, we got to see it before we can be it. We got to see it before we can have it. This is why God give us dreams. This is why God give us visions. He said, my sons will dream dreams, and my old men will have visions. My sons and my daughters will prophesy. And God is saying to us tonight, if you have a dream, go after that dream. Press toward it. If you have a mission, I will manifest it in due season. Press toward it. If you want to be married, don't give up on marriage. If you want to have children, don't give up on having children. If you want to do something great for God's kingdom, don't give up on your desire that you have for God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I tell you, God reassured Abraham and Abram time and time again. He said, look at the stars. And there's another verse where he said, look at the sand. You can't count the sand, the grains of sand. You can't count the stars. And that's how much I'm going to bless you. Now go over to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Again, we're talking about pressing toward the prize. Let's look at how God saw Abram in Abraham. Romans chapter number 4. I pray this is helping somebody tonight. Because God is telling us to walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes what we see and what we're seeing, whether it's in our bank account, whether it's in our home, whether it's in our churches, what we are seeing is not lining up with what he is saying. And God is saying, the just shall live by faith. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm to the place in my life, I'll be 54 years old in August. And I've been saved now over 23 years. I gave my life over to Christ at age 30. I'm now 53. So 23 years later, I'm still believing the Bible. I'm still believing the scriptures. I'm still believing the holy word of God. And God is saying to you tonight, the reason you called in, the reason you believe in Bible study and the word, the reason that you're going to grow spiritually, mature, develop, and improve and get better, because you know inwardly God has shown you something. He said, you can't even come to me unless I'm drawn by the Spirit of God. Unless you're drawn by the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus said, nobody can't even come to me unless they're drawn by the Spirit of God. So when sometimes we see that the fact that we're not in the popular culture, the fact that it's not a lot of people believing like we're believing, the fact that sometimes we find ourselves in the minority and not the majority, that can be discouraging if you're not looking at it through a spiritual lens. Amen, somebody. Amen. That's why we got to get the word of God in us. We got to walk by faith and not by sight, because you got so many people living contrary and against the word of God. So it's up to us as individuals to build up our faith. And let's look at Abraham, how he did that in Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, so much there. Please read the, just put a footnote in your notes if you're taking notes tonight, and read the entire chapter number 4 of Romans. It's going to bless you, and it's going to help your faith. Read the entire chapter, but for the sake of time, I'm going to go down to verse number 18. But even after we get off the call tonight, I pray you read the entire chapter. Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Remember the conversation back in Genesis chapter number 12. That's what God said to him, that you will be that father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. Watch this. And being not weak in faith. Wow. He was not weak in faith. You and I alike, have to get to the place where we develop strong faith. Unshakable, unmovable faith. And it took a while for Abraham and Sarah to get there. Remember back in Genesis chapter number 18, I wish I had time to go there, but when God said through the angels that by this time next year, your wife Sarah, who is barren, who is 90 years old, you are 100, by this season next year, you will have a child. And the Bible says Sarah laughed. She laughed in disbelief. And sometimes if the truth was to be told, what God is showing you and I, it looks impossible. Amen, somebody. You know, it was one thing for God to give him the promise at age 75. But 25 years later, you're still telling me this is going to happen? And the Bible says Sarah laughed. And he said to Sarah, why did you laugh? And Sarah said, no, I did not laugh. But listen to what God said to Sarah, and I pray that it helps us as we go along our journey. He said to Sarah, is anything too hard for God? That humbles us. That humbles us. He said to Sarah, is anything too hard for God? And she had to repent. She had to get back in faith because she knew that if she operated in doubt and unbelief, and if her husband operated in doubt and unbelief, they never would have received the miracle baby Isaac. But listen to this. God gave me this today. He says, son, a lot of my children know that I can. But far too many of them do not believe that I will. Wow. My God. And I think he told me that, and he told me that way because I struggled. He said, so many of my sons and daughters know that I can. Because when I had that cancer diagnosis, I knew that God could heal me. But trust me, I told you when I first got the news, I was wondering, will God heal me? Amen. And God is saying to us, get to the place in your faith where it says right here that Abraham was not weak in faith. We got to build up our faith because the enemy is going to try to get us to operate in doubt. We're still in verse 19. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. If you're taking notes, write number one, he was not weak in faith. Number two, he did not stay in doubt and unbelief. Right here it says it, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So Abraham didn't rely on himself, nor Sarah, nor the help of other people. He said, and I've been saying this lately a lot, if God don't do it, it won't get done. I think I preached that on Sunday, that if God don't do it, it's not going to happen. And God is telling us today, when we press, when we push, when we go towards the prize, he will strengthen us in our faith. So we don't have to worry about how or why or when. We just got to stay in faith. Amen. That's what our testimony is all about. You know there's a big day coming at New Creation Church next month, and it's going to be a powerful time in the Lord. But the Bible says we overcome by the word of the Lord and the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So your testimony, as you come through your test, it becomes a testimony. So when God brings you through something that's a test, it becomes your testimony. And that's proof, evidence, that God wants to bless you and that God is with you. Amen. I'm not going to have time to look at those four lepers tonight, but I want to go there probably next time we teach and talk, because it's a wonderful text. Maybe you can get a head start on me over in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. A prophetic word came. There was a famine. And then there was four men who had leprosy. And it's just a wonderful story that we're going to look at next time that will encourage you. Amen. To God be the glory. But I pray you are blessed tonight. And to God be the glory. My clock is off. Pastor, you got a few more minutes. So let's go there. I was looking at the wrong clock. Let's go, because we do have a few more minutes. Let's go to that scripture, 2 Kings, before we wrap up tonight. I'm so glad I have the time, because I really wanted to talk about this a little bit. 2 Kings. Chapter number 7, verse number 1. The Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 7, verse number 1. This is the great prophet Elisha. Then Elisha said, "Hear you the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." He said, by this time tomorrow is going to be a financial miracle given from God. Those are my words. Verse 2. Then a lord, or a man or servant, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven open, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat any of it." A prophetic word came from a real prophet. The king's servant, a person close to the king, tried to sow a seed of doubt. And he said, even if God opened the windows of heaven, that will not happen. That's impossible. And then Elisha came back and said, you're going to see the manifestation of this miracle, but you will not partake of it. Are y'all with me? Amen. Look at verse number 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit us here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we're going to die there. But if we sit here, we're going to die anyway. Now, therefore, come. And let us fall into the hands of the Syrians. If they save us and keep us alive, good, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die anyway." They had leprosy. They're going to die from the disease because it was a terminal illness. There's a famine in the land. They're going to die from thirst or hunger anyway, because there's a severe famine in the land. There's no food, there's no water. So they're going to die a natural cause. They're going to die from their disease. So they reason with one another and they say, our only risk to get a reward is to go to a place that we know that has provision. Amen, somebody. Verse 5, and they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there, They got to Syria, and there was nobody there. Look at why no one was there in verse number 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses and the noise of a great host or army. And they said one to another, the king of Israel has hired other kings against us. Verse 7, wherefore they rose up and fled, and they left everything. My God, I tell you, when we step out on faith and walk on the water of the miracle-working God, we can have the results of these lepers. The Bible says because of their faith, because of their action, because they took a risk, God allowed the enemy to hear an army coming, horses and chariots coming, although it was 4 weak, sick lepers who were walking on foot only. My God, that's the God that we serve. Because these 4 men pressed and pushed and were determined to do something, I believe God looked down and honored their effort and blessed them because they did something with their faith. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. Give me something to bless. Give me something to breathe on. Don't let the enemy turn you back. You've come this far by faith. Pastor Rebecca and I, we got that old church spirit. And we got a young congregation now, and sometimes we don't sing the older songs. But in our older church, when we first stepped out, we used to sing a song, we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He never failed me yet. Can't turn around. We come this far by faith. We come this far by faith, people. That song said, I can't turn around. And I pray that you don't turn around. God wants us to stay in faith, stay in believing him, and let him do his part while we continue to do our part. Amen. Father, thank you for the word. Bless your people as they step out on faith. It's not easy, God. This walk for the believer is not easy. So help us to stay in faith. Help us, God, to believe the Bible on tonight. That person who is believing you for total healing, who need total restoration in their body, God bless them. The one that need a financial miracle, God, we thank you in advance for the financial breakthrough. The one that is doing ministry, who wants to make a difference in the life of the lost souls, God, give them the courage in this hour and the boldness to minister with power and authority and might. So, God, we can't do this without you.
Yes, yes.
But your word declares that with you we can bear much fruit. So, God, I thank you for your people. I thank you in the name of Jesus for those who are trusting and believing you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We pray a supernatural healing in the name of Jesus
for Louis.
We pray a supernatural, God, in the name of Jesus, manifestation of your grace and your mercy. We speak right now and we say, body be well in the name of Jesus. We speak healing and deliverance totally for Louis in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the word. as we sign off tonight. God bless you, everyone. Love you. God bless. Good night.